Grand Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Reaction is pouring in on the Supreme Court's decision on affirmative action. CBS's Natalie Brand has more from Washington.
Writing for the court's majority, Chief Justice John Roberts said that Harvard and the University of North Carolina's race-conscious admissions programs violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Lawsuits against the schools allege the policies discriminated against white and Asian American applicants.
The decision rolls back decades of precedent. President Biden reacted at the White House.
What I propose for consideration is a new standard, where colleges take into account the adversity a student has overcome when selecting among qualified applicants. Let's be clear, under this new standard, just as was true under the earlier standard, students first have to be qualified applicants.
Justices still have more big rulings to come this term, including Mr. Biden's student loan forgiveness program. Another involves religious freedom and a Christian mail carrier who refused to deliver Amazon packages on Sundays. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
They're making it harder for employers to not accommodate religious rights, making it easier for employees to assert those religious rights and getting accommodations at their workplace.
Millions of people in the Midwest and along the East Coast are being urged to stay indoors today and avoid breathing in smoke. This little girl is in Missouri.
At camp today, my counselor, she said it was because of forest fires.
And she's right. It is all coming from Canada, where hundreds of fires are still burning. In the South,
it's just hot. I'm miserable.
A brutal heat wave's raising temps about 5 to 10 degrees above normal. It's killed more than a dozen people so far in Texas. The NFL just penalized players for violating its gambling policy.
Indianapolis Colts cornerback and kick returner Isaiah Rogers, defensive end Rashad Berry, and free agent Demetrius Taylor have been suspended for the entire 2023 season for betting on NFL games last season. Tennessee Titans starting right tackle Nicholas Petit-Ferree has received a 6-game suspension for betting on other sports at the team facility. Several Detroit Lions players have also been suspended for gambling. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
If you're gonna hold me, hold me.
Country star Kelsey Ballerini is the latest performer to get pegged during a performance. A fan threw something at her on stage and hit her in the face last night in Boise, Idaho. Last weekend, it was Bebe Rexha who needed stitches when she got hit in the face by a phone. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
You could throw your flip-flop at a bug.
Ew, a bug, get it!
But the chances of actually hitting it...
Oh, over there!
...are statistically...
Yeah, it's still alive.
Unlikely. Good thing nature's got your back. Stem bug killers combine powerful active ingredients found in plants, like lemongrass and geraniol, and scientifically engineer them into effective bug-fighting formulas, safe for use as directed around people, pets, and throughout the home. STEM, rooted in nature, optimized by science.
It can be stressful when unexpected expenses come up, but Dave can help. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. No interest, late fees, or credit check. Join the millions of people who have downloaded Dave and get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. Download the Dave app right now or go to dave.com. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
954-1186.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Overdose deaths are a continuing problem in our state. Here's Stuart J. Wattles with a story from Green Bay.
The city of Green Bay is installing naloxone kits in an effort to prevent drug overdose deaths. Naloxone, also known as Narcan, is the primary combatant in reversing the effects of an opioid overdose. Each rescue kit contains two doses of Narcan nasal spray, a CPR device, and instructions and resources for treatment. The kits will be installed at City Hall, the Police Department, and Green Bay Metro Fire Department. Mayor Eric Genrich says fentanyl and other opioids are a growing threat to the community. In 2022 alone, Green Bay Police and Fire administered 305 doses of Narcan. There were 46 deaths from opioid overdoses. The rescue kits were provided for free by Wisconsin Voices for Recovery.
Don't miss the Raptors doubleheader tonight against the Chinooks. First pitch at 5:05. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 61, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in our friend Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon of Wood Counties. Looking forward to talking with Jasmine and looking forward to talking with all of you. We have some of our favorite people in studio right now from the Arts Council, our good friend, Sally Kistner.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Sally. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
We also want to welcome our good friend, Eric Britnocker from the PAC. Eric, always good to see you.
Hi.
Thanks for being here, man. And we have a friend, Mary Schultz, in from Focus. Mary, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I appreciate the time. And we'll get to why Mary's with us today in a moment, although Mary doesn't need a reason. She could be here anytime she wants. So we'll always talk to our friends at Focus. But Sally, if you don't mind, let's jump right into the headline here, Kids from Wisconsin.
Kids from Wisconsin, July 10th. Monday. The show will be at 7 p.m., but we also have a bunch of other stuff going on. The show tickets are $17, and you can get them through the Arts Council, 715-424-2787. Stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. We're open 10 to 2:30 Monday through Thursday, except we're closed Monday and Tuesday next week.
Sally, for those that don't know, can we give them a little bit of a rundown on what Kids from Wisconsin is?
You bet. Kids from Wisconsin actually is made up of students throughout the entire state, ages 15 to 20, and they do auditions in February, and they have a two different positions. You can play either singer, dancer, or band member. And they conduct these auditions. It's quite the process they go through, so it's really the cream of the crop of kids from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And then they perform. They go to a training camp that's very intense, and they learn the performance that they will put on for the entire summer.
Every year I try out for this and I'm told I'm too old. And I mean, I don't begrudge them that, but to be honest, the kids are a lot more talented anyway, so it makes a lot more sense. It's such a fun event. This is one of those ones that we look forward to every year. I know that we got a lot of people, especially our Midwesterners, that love supporting our locals. And I think that there's a really unique and cool part of that. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed in doing this job and talking with a lot of locals is the people that have their kids involved in this and the way that they speak about the experience. Mm-hmm. and how they highlight it and they can't wait to bring it up. And then there's the people that come to the shows that cannot stop raving about these kids, raving about how this all went. I cannot encourage you enough to take and attend this show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's also going to be entertaining and also heartfelt. There's a meaning behind it. There's something very important that ties into this as well. And it's part of the reason why we have Mary Schultz with us from Focus. And Mary, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, I mean asking you questions. Thank you for being here again, Mary. Appreciate the time. Mary, how is Focus involved with this?
Well, so the kids decided that they wanted to do something more than just the show in each of the towns that they came to. And so they decided that they wanted to do some sort of a food drive to go along and help those that are struggling with food insecurities. And so this year they have a theme called From Stage to Table. And so they are collecting food throughout the day that they will be there. So starting at noon on Monday, they will have a bus and our focus truck will be there collecting donations from people in town that would like to help donate to help with food insecurities in our town. And so then also during the 4 o'clock show, you know, so it'll be open until 7:30 mm-hmm. when then we'll take the truck back to focus. So it's a way of them to give back to the community that they are performing in and where some of the kids are from. So,
you know, during the pandemic, but even still on our morning show, we do these good stories of the day. And one of the things that stood out to me was how many of them involved like a 10 or an 11 year old starting a lemonade stand and putting all that money to their local humane society or something. We've seen these kind of stories. It's not surprising to hear that kids thought of this.
Oh, right. Exactly.
But it hits you, right? It still feels like it never. I refuse to normalize this. It is amazing to me that these kids have these thoughts, have these ideas, and that they want. It's not enough to just say it or to tell their parents about it. They want to put it to work. They want to put it to action.
Exactly. And I think they see the needs of their fellow citizens and their fellow classmates, and they see what these kids are struggling with and their families are struggling with, and they want to help. You know, whatever way they can. And maybe they can't do it personally, but if they get the word out, other people can help as well.
Mary, as long as I have you here, those of us that ain't little kids, but kids at heart maybe, or just didn't grow up very well, or mature-wise, how can we help with Focus? How can we donate to Focus? What are things that we can keep in mind?
So, first of all, understand that Focus has three programs that we umbrella. Okay, one is our food pantry. One is our meal program on Thursday nights, and then the other is our backpack program. So we try to service all aspects of our community that we can. And so with that in mind, we use a lot of different kinds of foods, whether it's for the pantry where mm-hmm. people come and pick up grocery supplies, or we to provide a meal for people on Thursday nights, or the backpack program. So we do have a list of certain things that we really can use that are very hard to come by and getting harder to come by mm-hmm. as food insecurities in the nation is tougher. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have a little bit of a list that would be helpful, like peanut butter and jelly. Sounds like, why would you need that? But that is something that families use as a staple. Mm. And so peanut butter and jelly is hard to come by, especially grape jelly. So that's a huge need that we have. Mm-hmm. Any kind of pasta sauce, because no matter if they're whatever nationality, it seems like pasta sauce is...
Always.
Everybody loves pasta sauce. So pastas other than spaghetti, we seem to get a lot of the long spaghetti, but the other kind of pastas that all different nationalities tend to use.
Journalistically, I should mention I am Italian. I'm always going to be promoting marinara, always.
There you
always.
Go.
So
there
I just
go.
Put that out there.
That's all right. But then we also need things like hygiene items are very hard to come by. We have a limited budget for hygiene items, but it is something that people really need. So things like dish soap, which they can't use food share for, deodorant, shampoo, those kinds of things are really, really needed. Even some cleaning supplies that we can give out because they cannot use food share for that. So those kinds of things are very, very helpful for us to be able to give out. Other two mainstays are probably soups and crackers. They seem to go a long way. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we are having a harder time finding. Feeding America is having a harder time coming across. The other thing would be canned meats, you know, like things like canned tuna, canned chicken, because that can go a long way in a casserole for a family. And so those are things that we really could benefit from at this point, whether it's for our backpack program, our meal program, or our food pantry.
Most have seen the Alice report that was released recently, or maybe you were a part of United We Can over at the Raptors ballpark with the United Way. These events we see in town, and we know about them, and we know that this is a concern in our area. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, not to get on a soapbox or anything, but I get on soapboxes from time to time. This is one of those things that we can help. we can do something on. You don't have to be a millionaire to be to be able to do something like this. You don't have to be some great philanthropist.
Right.
You can be a part of this. You're at the grocery store. You're able to grab an extra can. You're able to grab extra thing. Donating that, that's one of the greatest investments you can make in your community.
Exactly.
You have no idea. Some of those toiletries that you were mentioning there, somebody is able to use those for before a job interview. Mm-hmm. They get a job.
Oh, yes.
They're able to pay taxes, put back into their community. I mean, if I got to reach you on money, I'll reach you on taxes. Whatever it takes, just please be a part of this and help out.
Exactly.
We greatly appreciate you working with our good friends at Focus.
Yes.
And love this combination with you guys in Focus. This is really cool. This is I love when we see these things joining forces. It makes our community that much stronger.
Exactly.
Mary, before I let you go, we will get information on how people can find out more about Focus.
Oh, sure.
So just to give you a heads up that I will be bugging you again.
Okay.
Sally, I wanted to get to this workshop that is going to be going on with this great event.
Absolutely. At 4 o'clock that day, we have a Realize Your Dream workshop, which is something that focuses on kids ages 7 to 14. It's a free workshop, but they do need to register ahead of time through Kids from Wisconsin. So if they go to kidsfromwisconsin.org and look for events, they can register for this. Right now, we have about a dozen people registered, but we've also approached local dance studios, the Boys and Girls Club, some of the schools and different programs, summer programs throughout the city. So we're hoping that the numbers pick up and people take advantage of it.
Have you tried going door to door to parents going stir crazy? Have you tried? No.
You know, it's been really positive, though. Grandparents buying tickets to the show. I've got some flyers sitting out, and they're like, wow, I want my grandkid to go to this. So
yeah,
that's been good.
This is a very good grandparent event, I would think.
You know,
there's nobody that can't enjoy this event, but especially grandparents are going to enjoy this one.
So the workshop is actually divided up into two parts. Mm-hmm. One of it is for band students, and they can actually jam with the band,
and
they go through some things with them. They learn about technology a little bit too, so Eric's area.
Nice.
And then singer dancers, they kind of go through and teach them part of one of the dances that they do in the show. So they get to kind of try it out themselves and see what it's like to actually perform.
Are there any things that people should know before going to register? Are there any requirements or anything?
Just 7 to 14, and then you can plan on being at the PAC for about an hour from 4 to 5.
That's 7 to 14, you guys. I mean, no love for 40-year-olds. None.
I'll let you in if you want to come.
Those kids would run laps around me. It would kill my confidence. This is a free event, too, keeping that in mind. All you got to do is make sure to register, everybody.
Absolutely.
It's one of the, while we love these events, and the events themselves are wonderful, it speaks to the work that you and the PAC do, Sally, the Arts Council, the PAC, that everybody does in this community. Really, to bring these events in. Okay, Kids from Wisconsin, that's great on its own. How can we make it even better? And you incorporate the Realize Your Dream program or workshop. You have Focus a part of this. I admire the not settling and seeing how we can make things better and all that. And you guys do such a great job at this. Eric, Sally mentioned that you're going to be a part of this workshop. Can you tease for us a little bit of what some of the things you and the kids are going to go over?
Well, usually the workshop is, you know, kind of headed by one of their technology team because it is their Realize the Dream workshop. But they bring them to the audio console. They bring them to the lighting console. They show them kind of backstage and kind of the setup back there. They explain a few things. You know, there's any number of things that you could talk about in the moment with kids. Kid says, what's this? Well, okay. Yeah. And then you talk about that for a little while. So it's kind of just an open-ended, you know, here is our equipment. This is what we use. This is kind of how it works. And this is how it's being applied in this show today. And, you know, I think that exposure is really great because there are jobs in this, you know, line of work across the nation, I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our industry is often starving for young, talented technical people.
Yes.
It spans further than just a performing art. You know, it's sports entertainment. It's, you know, your local music festival. It's, you know, anything. You know, firemen's picnics. You know, there's all sorts of audio, video, lighting type things going on. You know, even aside from like commercial installs and, you know, it's all interconnected. And the convergence of audiovisual, information technology, they've all come together. And so, you know, learning these fundamentals and being exposed, especially at a critical age of 7 to 14, I think is really important to plant that seed and to let you know that some of these things exist out there for you if you want it. And I think that's what maybe is the most important thing about some of these workshops is, you know, just kind of planting that seed of what might be possible.
I think for parents and even for kids, one of the things that the dream, you know, when you're thinking of your dream jobs and stuff is, it, you know, work. Is there going to be work available? Is there going to be stuff? This is one of those industries that is always looking for people. It's a great point to make. And I think of whenever I'm at FRM Fest and I see that there's somebody up there working stuff, and it's somebody usually who I haven't seen before or something, that they do such good work and doing so much in the last moment. And it just seems like such an exciting field to be in, too.
And that's one small music festival in Wisconsin right. Rapids. Right. Extrapolate that now over the state and the nation and the world, and you can start to see just the amount of potential that's out there for people who want to work in live entertainment productions. And again, it's not based on theater. It's not based on, you know, it's all of these sorts of things. It's television, it's movies, it's all interconnected. And so the opportunity exists to be creative and do technical work and make a living doing so.
We don't always get a chance to do this, but to put you on there for a second, Eric, was that how it was for you at a young age? Did something happen for you that got you into this field, or did it just happen by organically?
You know, I just had a real love for music, and I really loved the live performance kind of aspect of it. And I was always just kind of a gearhead too, and at a young age, like 12 or 13, I was collecting home theater equipment, and, you know, I had a lot of car stereo stuff purchased before I even had a car, and it was hooked up in my room. So I was dabbling with this stuff a long time. And then I had some friends who were, you know, we were into collecting and downloading music. I'm sorry to admit that, but, you know, there was a time when, you know, Napster and BearShare and, you know, all of these other peer-to-peer sharing sites existed, and we were downloading songs and we were listening to music and we were sharing stuff, and it just really propelled me. And then I got turned on to a couple, you know, the Grateful Dead, for example, who really took live music and performance to a whole new level with what they did and what they were experimenting with and mm-hmm. sharing music with people and putting it out there. Like, mm-hmm. it's live, it's out there, it's for you to have, it to record, to share, or whatever. And I really kind of caught on to that, and I really thought that live music was like where I needed to be. And I was always messing with how does this sound, and then I got into like mixing music and mixing bands and listening to different types of music and how those blends and mixes were done. And so it was really just this whole continuation of like I was really interested in this, and I got into the gear, and I had kind of the right people in my life who kind of, I won't say showed me the way, but were at least influencing me, like, to, you know, to have, and I was DJing, you know, eighth grade dances and all sorts of things. So it was just part of my life.
Really appreciate you sharing that. If you're a parent out there and you notice these things in your kid and you see that, sometimes the kid doesn't always see the path. Sometimes it's the parent that helps them with that. I was 7 and knew I wanted to be an actor, but it was my mom that told me I'd be good at radio. I wouldn't even be in this chair if it wasn't for my mother. She was the one that told me, that convinced me that I could do something like this. And it still took years before I actually believed it. But I wouldn't have even auditioned. I wouldn't have even thrown in a resume without that. Sometimes it's the parent that can kind of help a kid see that vision and see maybe some of the things we're too close to. I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, I think too, you know, my parents also stayed out of the way.
Yeah.
And they just kind of were like, you know, he kind of knows what he wants to do, and we're going to trust that he knows, and his path is kind of, you know, destiny as it would be, perhaps.
It's a tough thing to balance, but it is something that, you know, most parents, I think, know when to back off and when, you know.
But there was also this talk like, oh, you're never going to make money in the arts. You're never going to do, you know, you're never going to make a living doing this or that. And it was kind of like, well, you know, I don't believe that. Watch me.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing, and the grandparents who say, well, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that, the world has totally changed.
Yeah.
People are making monies in new ways that they've never even dreamed possible. And, you know, the amount of industry that's being created, it's just mind-boggling.
I mean,
and
just,
it's so vast, and there's no limit to what you can do when you really step back and realize, like, if I make a small investment in, say, equipment or some of these things, I'm willing to work for it, it is likely going to pay off. That's the way things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses wouldn't exist on all of your street corners around if they weren't being successful doing business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, That's great. And certainly some fail. But if you have a shop or if you are dedicated to what you are doing, it will most likely be successful.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of perseverance that goes into a lot of that. And I admire so much in people. I tell my students all the time, have a day job. Make sure that you can have something that keeps the lights on. But you don't have to follow. You can chase that dream. You can chase it your whole life. I'll be 90 and still fighting for that big break. I ain't going to stop. And I'm going to keep the lights on. But, you know, you can go ahead and chase that dream down. It's a good note. Sally, I wanted to let people know this is the first show of the new season. This is kind of kicking off the season, right? Can we preview the season ahead a little bit?
We certainly can. Okay. We're excited about that.
Yeah.
The actual season starts in October.
True.
We just got our trifold brochures out. They're in the mail, so people should be getting them soon here. But we start in October with Sean Johnson and the Big Band Experience. November, we have the Gatlin Brothers. Ooh. These are the Gatlin Brothers. I keep getting questions wondering if it's a tribute, but no.
The classic guys. 65 years they've been doing this.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yep.
That is really cool. I can understand why people might be uncertain. Like, you sure it's still them? Like, oh, it's them. It's them. I actually watched just a little bit of their recent live stuff.
Uh-huh.
Sound the same. I don't know how they do this. They sound the same. They're amazing. Yeah. It's a really good band.
Yep, absolutely. And we're also trying something a little bit different with that one. We're going to have a limited seating dinner beforehand at Lake Air Supper Club. So limited tickets available, but keep that in mind as well. And
that's
you can buy the tickets
idea.
Through us.
That's
yes.
a fun idea. Usually you're going to have dinner before the show anyway.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Then we have Terry Lee Goffey doing a Johnny Cash Christmas. That one's pretty popular from I hear.
Sally, I'm not 100% if you know this or not, but I'm a big Johnny Cash guy. Did you know that? Did you do this for
no,
me, Sally? Okay.
No.
This is very cool. I've heard.
But please come.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. This is a, I love you. You always have your seasonal show in the December area, and nothing but greats that we've had. This is a little different, but yet still hitting that same Christmas spirit.
Correct.
That's fun. I like that.
Yep.
January kicks off the new year with something big.
Yep, I Am King, the Michael Jackson Experience, and that one is shaping up to be pretty popular too. Then in
I was just going to mention the young man that plays Michael in this. How amazing he is! It's
really
incredible.
Is. Yep.
Whenever you're seeing an artist impersonating another artist, the actor in me comes out, and so I'm pulled to it even not, if it's not musically. And every time, I'm blown away by these people.
Yeah.
It's incredible how they are able to do it such a respectful homage to these artists while not necessarily trying to just completely be them. I don't know how they walk that line, but they do such a great job, and this young man does an amazing job with this.
He does.
I encourage you to get your tickets and check out that one, and things just keep rolling after January as we go into February.
And February, we have Uptown, which is, it's quite interesting. It's Motown and soul, and super high energy. These guys are fantastic. I saw them live.
Growing up, big fan of all the soul bands, the Four Tops, the Temptations, the Spinners, some of my favorite music of all time. And I love R&B now, but I feel like we lost so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the harmonies, but the dance moves.
Exactly.
The dance moves are gone.
They've
Nobody's
got awesome
doing that
choreography
anymore.
With it. So.
And I'm glad you mentioned that about their energy. That was the first thing that stood out to me. They sound really good together, but that energy that they bring, I feel like it's a bit of a throwback.
Really?
More coming up in March.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple in March. How Sweet It Is, which is a James Taylor tribute. Steve Leslie not only looks like James Taylor, he sounds exactly like him.
That blew me away.
I was
expecting him to look just like James Taylor, too. That really threw me. That was funny. He does sound really good.
He does. And then March 10th, we have a busy weekend that weekend, Thursday, and then the following Sunday, we're doing a Sunday afternoon show, which is Always Olivia, which is obviously an Olivia Newton-John tribute. And with that, we're doing something a little bit more community-minded as well. We're doing a fundraiser for the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund, where every adult ticket that's purchased, $3 will be going into that fund. Plus, I have a separate link already on our ticketing system where you can donate additional dollars if you like to. And then we will give them a check for whatever we raise for that. And what prompted that was the lady who plays Olivia donates 10% of her performer's fee to the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Fund.
Yeah.
So we decided to kind of hop on that and take care of some locals, too.
Good on you. That's a beautiful thing, Sally. That's awesome. Very cool.
And then we wrap up the season April 4th with a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis tribute show. Oh. And if you know Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, which Eric was a little... Who's that? But they are fantastic.
Yeah, comedy personified. Essentially, almost any comedy you enjoy, comedy acts you enjoy, we're all influenced by those two.
Right.
I don't care who you're talking about, what the artist is. It all started with those guys and them changing comedy in so many different ways. I don't think people even understood sarcasm completely until those two started really doing it. You know, these guys also do a nice job with that. Not only the paying homage to those bits and those artists, but their timing and their look is so, again, right on point with the time in the era. You almost it's a time machine almost. You're brought back to that time.
Yep.
Sally, as we're wrapping up, I also wanted to make sure that we mention, if you and Eric, anybody looking for volunteers, if you are, to always reach out to you guys and how they can find out more. How can they do that?
Right. Please call me. We do have some opportunities to help with the Focus Food Drive. And they could give me a call at the Arts Council, 715-424-2787. If it's outside of office hours, I will give them a call back.
Hmm. Eric, is there a way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could call me at the PAC office. The number there is 715-424-6763, and I'd be happy to talk to you.
Thank you. And Mary, how can people get a hold of you in Focus? How can they find out more?
Well, our Focus office is on Grand Avenue, and it's open all day. You can stop in at any time and talk to any of us. We're happy to... always open to getting new volunteers, whatever age. We have even kids that are helping out push carts, and we also have kids who are helping serve and pour water. So anytime during the day, you can stop in and just let us know that you're willing to help out, and we'd love it.
Appreciate the time, you three. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. 4th of July plans are in place for Wisconsin Rapids celebrations next week. The entertainment will kick off with the DJ, Entertainment Engines, who will begin playing at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Food and refreshment vendors will be on West Grand Avenue on the west side of the river and on 2nd Street South, south of East Grand Avenue on the east side of the river. The Wisconsin Rapid City Band will perform outside of the Centralia Center from 7 to 8. Don Johnson will sing the national anthem right before the fireworks show, which is expected to begin at approximately 9:30. Visit the city page for all guidelines, including where you can't park and boater safety. UW-Stevens Point has announced their July planetarium shows at the Alan F. Blotcher Planetarium. All shows will be offered Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. All events are free and open to the public, but donations are welcome. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 61. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're joined right now by our great friend, Jasmine Carbajal. She is with she is a 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon Wood Counties. Good morning, Jasmine.
Hello. How are you?
Good to have you with us here. Good to hear you. Thanks a lot for being here, Jasmine.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We're in the middle of June, well, end of June now, So, you know, doing lots of programming. So I'm happy to be here with you and talk a little bit about that.
And, you know, while we don't want to see any of our summer months go away, if there is a positive to June wrapping up so quickly, it is all the cool things we have coming up in July.
Yes.
If you don't mind, before we go too fast forward, I do want to rewind a little bit. How have some of the events this year been going, especially some of the end of school year stuff that you are a part of?
Thanks for asking that. It's been going really well. I think that the biggest thing that I've seen is this energy from our youth that they want more. So, like, we were wrapping up with some events and they're like, okay, what's going on this summer? Because we want to keep doing things. So I'm really excited. You know, June's been going really well, really busy. We just came back from our summer academy in Madison. We had 300 youth from all over Wisconsin come to that. We had Miss America speaking there. So it's just a great event. So yeah, everybody's kind of engaged and like they want to keep going.
I have heard from the parents and they want you to too.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
But yeah, they're ready.
it is really nice to have so many things locally that are going to keep kids busy in the summer.
Yes.
I do think that kids deserve to have a little bit of lax time, and that's important, but it's also just as important to keep those brains with a routine, with some repetition. It doesn't always have to be heavy lifting stuff. It can be fun things that we don't tell them that they're learning something, but they are.
You know, in a space where they can still connect with their friends. I know when I was in school, sometimes that was the only time I would get to see my friends. I didn't get to see them much during the summer. Mm-hmm. So I think with some of our 4-H programming, we create these spaces where, yes, everything you said, and they also get to bring friends along and, you know, get to connect with them during the summer as well if they might not do so otherwise.
One of the things that I've admired and I really enjoy about working and talking with you and Laura is you do this all the time, these things that I forget and many of us forget as adults. It's such a good point. Most of us growing up, we say goodbye to our friends and at the end of this last day, and that's the last time you saw them until the next school year and everything. And that was always rough. That was kind of, and I know social media has changed that a little bit, but there's still, I've got some, you know, younger kids that I talk to and everything that friends of mine are parents of, and they're still in the same boat. It's kind of cool to give another option for them to hang out, to see each other along with some great events.
And meet new people, right? Because then they make new friends that they might not have engaged with during the school year, and now they have gotten to meet someone new or someone that they might have seen at school but never really got to know, and now through some of the summer stuff they get to know them more, and now you go into a new school year with new friends too.
Not to say, I think when you say the word cliques, it can kind of have a bad tone. That seems to kind of like faded away a bit. There's still groups, but it's not really like how it was when some of us were in school and you were separated by these things. But that stuff still does kind of exist. When your kid is in 4-H, it gets an opportunity to meet a whole different group of people sometimes.
I agree, especially, you know, when you say cliques, like what comes to mind is this definition of like misassumption that 4-H, again, is just farm, it's just animals. So even when we think about 4-H and how much it has changed, like this is a great opportunity to check out some of our events to see how it's not a clique, it's not that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot, and come join us for it.
Yeah, and especially with some of these great events coming up. Let's dive right into the Summer Foodie Pop-Up.
Well, you know, we love to talk about food.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So I am definitely promoting our Marshfield one coming up July 11th. Mm-hmm. So our foodies, for those that might be new listeners to you, we invite youth to come. We get together, do a little connection game, get to know each other a little bit first. And then we walk over to a local farmer's market. And then we talk about just, you know, not only exposing them to our local vendors and farmers, but just talk about the process of farm to table and talk about what ingredients do we need to make a good recipe that, you know, it's for third graders and up. So really like within their skill sets. And so then we'll walk around the farmer's market, get some ingredients and then come back and we cook together. Mm-hmm. And that's always been such a fun class. So our foodie pop-up in Marshfield, and I say pop-up because we have a regular Thursdays in Rapids. Mm-hmm. But if we have some youth in the Marshfield area that may not make it to the Rapids once on Thursdays, then this one is for you. It's Tuesday, July 11th. We are going to be meeting at the Chestnut Center for the Arts there in Marshfield, and it's $5 per participant. Now, we've talked about, you know, I never want a fee to be an obstacle, so just let me know that, hey, I just need a scholarship for this. That is fine. Youth in third grade and up. And there's a registration form on there. We are asking people to kind of register by today, tomorrow, just so I know how many to plan for. Mm-hmm. And people can find that on our website or our Facebook page or by calling me. And I'm sure we'll give that information mm-hmm. at some point today. But
definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, we've talked about this before, and the idea, some of these kids, maybe they haven't been to a farmer's market before, and seeing that, so first and foremost, I think seeing these vendors and these farmers and seeing what it takes to do that job and that work and having some appreciation, some empathy for that, that's a great thing right there. And even if that's where the event ended, I think it's worth it. But then the fun and the excitement of picking out ingredients yeah. and the almost hide and seek of that, of finding stuff. And then you take these items and putting it together. For us as adults, we do this almost every day, and it doesn't seem, you know, too magic or anything. But to a child, that's magic. Some of my favorite memories are being in the kitchen with my Nana and her cooking, you know, pasta noodles from fresh pasta noodles or fresh marinara or something that she let sit overnight and all these things. I got to be the main helper because I was tall and I could grab things on shelves.
You can
and
help
stuff.
That way.
But I learned a lot being in that kitchen with Nana, yeah. and I had such a love of creation from mm-hmm. it, not just cooking and what it means to cook for somebody yeah. and then eating that meal and you seeing the enjoyment of that and how great that can feel, but just the creative fun of cooking can be. And if I could just add one last thing. For Father's Day a couple weeks ago, my youngest daughter took me out for dinner.
Okay.
And I've mentioned this before. I tend to treat food like fuel. And I don't really think much about yeah. it and everything. And I was sitting there with her. We had one of those little moments where we're both eating and it's just silent.
Yeah.
And I forgot how powerful that is, how beautiful of a moment mm-hmm. that is to break bread with your kid, mm-hmm. to be able to just sit there in the moment, not the rush and bus and not a big conversation we're having. We're just being around each other.
Yeah.
And how good that feels, how good my soul, like that was 2 weeks ago, and I'm still full in the soul from it.
I love that.
So I feel like with these events, you get back to some of that too, and you slow down a little bit and get back to loving food, get back to the enjoyment of food, how much fun this can be.
You know, and something that I found as doing these, the foodies, I tend to do them now every year and throughout the year as well. But specifically with the farmers market, I see a lot of younger people and youth even in with their own businesses there.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year we had one that was selling her homemade like cookies and like mm-hmm. her how she has created a business. And I mean, and we're talking about like youth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Another one that has an earring business that she makes her own earrings. And when my youth, and I say my youth because like I can, everybody comes around me, you're mine.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're mine. So
get that.
When we got there and some of my participants were just like, that's really cool. I never thought that I could like, you know, sell things that maybe I make like at a farmer's market. I'm like, yes. Like, you know, it's beyond just the food. It's about like, if you have an idea and you're looking into being an entrepreneur or having your business, like these are things that you have to think about. Where can I sell my items? And having that connection with those vendors that are, are closer to themselves in age and like seeing themselves reflected in something like that was the coolest too, right? And so, yeah, I love the foodie programs.
There's something about too the any opportunity to build confidence in young people. And while they may not all grow up to be chefs or anything like that, they're going to be needing to make food and stuff.
Yeah.
And the confidence, there's few things that can give you confidence like seeing somebody enjoying the food you made, or you even enjoying the food you made and realizing, oh, I pulled this off. Yeah. I can do this. Yeah. It's so much fun to be a part of. It's a really unique thing.
And the mushrooms weren't bad in this one. Yes, and the spinach was actually good because they make it themselves. You know, I always consider myself more a facilitator. Mm-hmm. I bring you all together. I want to make sure you don't cut your fingers. I say this all the time. But at the end of the day, they are the ones making their meal. Like they're working together. They're making, because you know, that has shown that like youth are more likely to try things, right? And so it's been so surprising to some parents, like they ate that. They tried that. I'm like, they did. And they might have not liked it right away, or they might have loved it, right? But it's the fact that they did it that encouraged them to do that.
My poor mother could have been so benefited by you guys. I was such a picky eater.
Really?
I drove her crazy. She really would have benefited having me in this. So again, the Summer Foodie Pop-Up coming up Tuesday, July 11th, 10 to 11:30 over at Chestnut Center for the Arts in Marshfield. And that is going to be a fun event. Be sure to, we'll tell people how they can register for that before we wrap up.
Of course.
Coming up as well, the 4-H Pool Party on July 16th. Great idea. Right away. I don't
you
even need
so?
To know anything about this, and I tell you it's a great idea.
So last year we ran out of time in the summer to do a pool party countywide and for all youth, really, not just 4-Hers. I think Laura and I have both really said that. Like we are not strict about like you have to be a 4-H member to attend any of our events. You know what? If you are looking for something to do, you see our flyer somewhere and you're like, I want to check this out, let us know and just come check it out, because we want you to experience, like I said before, like this 4-H just program, right? And so our pool party this year, so I made it a priority. We're going to have a pool party this year in Wood County. And so it's going to be on Sunday, July 16th. And I purposely chose a Sunday because I'm hoping the whole family will come out.
Yeah.
I usually say like, if you want to drop off your youth with me, okay, fine, go run an errand, come back. No, with a pool, come have fun with us. It's going to be hot. It's summertime. Let's enjoy it together.
Bend my arm. Okay, fine. We'll do it. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that then you can meet other adults, you know, like you can meet other leaders. You can meet other adults, other parents. Like it's a good connection opportunity, not just for youth with youth, but also for adults with adults. So July 16th, it's from 2 to 4. We're going to be doing that here at the Wisconsin Rapids Recreation Complex. $5 per participant. Again, let me know if that's too much. I'm never like, you need to pay before you go. Mm-hmm. No, just, you know, email me if there's an issue. And then again, all youth, all families are welcome. We do want to just a registration for that as well, just because we want to make sure we have enough space with what we're planning to do that day, but always lots of fun. And so day in the pool.
Yeah. I love that you and Lori, when you guys bring these angles to things that I just don't wrap around. And I'm an overthinker. There's not many angles on things I don't think of, but you brought up adults there. I'm so focused on the kids, and we should be. That's what this is all start and ends with. But the adults are a part of this too, an event like this especially. And as adults, we have less and less opportunities to meet people. We have less and less opportunities
that's
to
true.
Organically just run into a stranger and make a new friend or something like that. That's a great point. There's a great opportunity right there with this event.
Especially if you're a family that you want to get maybe involved with 4-H, but you're not so sure, this is perfect to come out, have fun, and connect with people that have been doing 4-H for a while, right? That know and kind of how it works, and get to know me, get to know Laura, your educators at a local level too, because if I'm not there, Laura's there. If Laura's not there, I'm there. Like, one of us is going to be there.
Yeah.
And so we can talk more. And so it's just a fun event. You know, when we talk about summer, what's funner than being in the water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Nothing beats being in the water.
I mean,
in
maybe
the summer.
Eating at the foodie event, yeah, but like, yeah. Ball, they're pretty close.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's another great opportunity to find out more about 4-H, too. I think you touched on this before, and it's never a bad point to bring up. There are plenty of people that understand and love 4-H and the modern 4-H and what it's evolved to and everything, but for those that are still, you know, unsure or don't know, you come to these events, they're free, they're fun, well, not free, but you know what I mean, they're going to work with you to get there, and then you find out, and you see how beneficial they can be to the kids, how beneficial they can be to you.
Yeah, you know, and essentially, like, my goal, if we could do free programming, we would do free programming, and mm-hmm. I've mentioned that in other interviews before, where, like, this is why we love working with local businesses, local collaborators, because if you have a space and you're mm-hmm. willing to bring that up for free, then my cost is minimal. Like, I'm just covering materials if needed. But if there's a thing that we want to do where things are covered or we have sponsorship, then it is free. Like, right? And I love that. I love that we can really have it be accessible to all of our families in the area.
I think one of the things that stands out about 4-H as well is the people who used to be 4-H members and coming back, even when they don't have kids, wanting to volunteer, wanting to donate and put into the 4-H.
That speaks volumes, I think, not only of our program, but really the community, because mm-hmm. I think they see the impact that it made for them in their lives and in their community, that they are willing to come back to us and, like, put in and donate their time or whatever they're able to really keep continuing to make that impact.
We're speaking with Jasmine Carbajal with the Marathon of Wood County's 4-H Associate Educator. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about, Jasmine, is the 4-H Foodie Thursdays.
Yes, I love 4-H Foodie Thursdays. Mm-hmm. It's every Thursday here in Rapids. This is the one where every week we just make something different, and we tie it into a culture mm-hmm. as well. So it's not just about the food, but sometimes it's about the culture, the people that come with that food, right? And you know this about me, I'm Mexican-American. So to me, like, when I cook something, I cook with a lot of love. So I love sharing, like, what else, you know, is behind the background to that food. And so I try really, really hard to be intentional about if we're making sushi, for example, mm-hmm. which we will be doing mm-hmm. this year, just the culture around that, how mm-hmm. it came to be, and some of those traditions and where it's now, and how we can be creative with it too. So that's going to be every Thursday, and that's going to start over at our extension office, which is located in the courthouse here in Rapids, at 9. And so adults, you can drop off your youth, leave mm-hmm. them at 9, come pick them up at 11. We'll do some games. We walk over to the market again and pick our ingredients and then walk back and cook. And then they're ready to go. Sometimes they're not ready to go at 11. Yeah. Sometimes they want to stay longer,
mm-hmm.
which is not a bad thing. And so that's every Thursday in July.
Yeah. With that event, is it one that you need to register for?
We do want to have youth register just so we kind of have some idea of numbers. So we have enough things to have for preparation. Mm-hmm. And our registration link is still open, and all of that can be found on our website, on our social media outlets, or by calling us if you don't have internet, or for whatever reason you have other mm-hmm. questions, just give us a call and we can also sign you up via the phone.
You know, and we touched on this before, Jasmine and you and I, but I don't know if we've really gotten to go too in depth on it. One of the cool things about 4-H and that you guys are doing nowadays is this bringing so much of our community together, and maybe organizations or groups of people that weren't always together kind of joining forces now and being a little more. I was very lucky growing up in Chicago in a melting pot where mm-hmm. I my best friend was Puerto Rican. We had a wonderful Mexican family above us. Like, understanding that not all Latin food is the same, you know, like understanding the differences of spices in these things.
Right.
Like, taste of Chicago as a kid and going to that and seeing Greek food and Latin mm-hmm. food and all these different mm-hmm. things and getting to try it. And to me, growing up, what brought these people together was food. What I didn't see fights and arguments when there was food involved. It brought people that I would never see in the same room together. I didn't seem to, at least growing up, all the time at the Taste of Chicago or all the time at the Greek Spot or something like that. I love that about food. And I don't know if we've lost sight of that or not, but it's never bad to have a reminder of how food brings us together and creates empathy.
Absolutely. And in especially in a place where we're a little bit more rural, where we might not have, you know, those opportunities like in some of those bigger places. So I think that it's, even if you have youth that are interested, you know, this is why I say, like, they really try new things because they're trying not only in their own creations and how they do their thing, but also just in a new experience with a new culture that they might not otherwise have.
And for, I think maybe, and I'm not at all trying to speak for you, Jasmine, but I think for those sort of like us, we're in the same boat when it comes to a lot of European meals or a lot of traditional Polish meals or something. So that's included in this too. It's everybody we want a part of this and bring in some of that. What's goulash? What is this? You know, and finding out about some of these things.
Yes, no, absolutely. And you know, sometimes I've had youth tell me like, what do you all want to like? Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they come up with that are like, okay, we'll get to it. Like, we'll learn about it and we'll cook it and we'll get to it. So yes, everybody's invited to those. You don't have to be a 4-H member. Just let us know that you're coming. And yeah.
We want, and every parent wants their kids to not be on the tablet as much and those kind of things. And we get that. One of the things that is done with this is, it's not outright. It's not banging you over the head with it. But every one of these events, while they're fun, they're awesome, they have something the kids will learn, the empathy that is built into these never gets lost on me. I know that when we focus on the kids and the heads and the tablets and these things, the worry is they're not getting exercise or these kind of... I'm concerned about that, too. I worry more about empathy. I worry more about some of that in life. And any opportunities to remind kids of these things, to bring it up in them and in their hearts and organically is never a bad thing.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, we have lots of, these are usually for our third graders and up, but we have lots of other opportunities throughout the summer for other age groups. You know, we have our little clover buds, which are kindergarten through second grade, and we have like a clover bud camp coming up.
I love the name of it, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I love the name.
I know. So, yeah. So, you know, really, as you're looking into going into July, we have a lot to offer in our 4-H program here in Wood County. So check us out.
You know, you don't have to take our word for it. You go to 4-H.extension.wisc.edu. Go to their calendar. You are going to see every month there is something going on all year long at 4-H. 4-H is a year-round club. It's something that I don't know if it always was or not, but in the time that I've been talking with Laura and you, it is a year-round thing.
Yeah.
That is not only great for parents, but also really consistent for kids. Mm-hmm. It really keeps up on that for them.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, another thing that we've worked really hard about. Like, we often think 4-H and we relate it to fair. Mm-hmm. And while fair is a huge opportunity for our youth every year, it is a whole year commitment. Like, we're doing other things outside of fair. And fair is just a showcase, really, for what we've done all year.
Most businesses are doing this where they want to keep their core audience but bring in new people. And 4-H could teach a master class on this because you guys have done such an amazing job. Everybody understands that 4-H is what 4-H is. And then they realize, it's grown. Oh, it's this too. And so haven't lost that great core of what 4-H, a lot of us grew up on and what it used to be. It's just evolved into something even more now while keeping that in.
Correct. Yes.
That's not easily done. It's masterfully done by you guys, though.
Well, thank you. We love it. We love it.
Let's go over some of the events we talked about again. Let's remind people again about 4-H Foodie Thursdays here in Rapids.
Yes, every Thursday from 9 to 11, third graders and up. And you can find a registration for that on our website or by calling us. We have our pop-up in the same kind of category of foodie on July 11th in Marshfield, and that's from 10 to 11:30 at the Chestnut Center for the Arts. $5 per participant for, again, youth in third grade and up. And we have that registration up still. You can still sign up for that. And then a pool party.
Yeah.
I love the pool party. Oh, so Sunday, cool. July 16th from 2 to 4 at here in the Wisconsin Rapids Recreation Complex. $5 per participant. And all the youth and all the families, all adults are welcome to join us. And we also have that registration link up on our site.
Yeah. Again, that website, 4h.extension.wisc.edu. And of course, if you type into your search bar, Wood County 4-H, mm-hmm. that'll pop up right away. I test it all the time and it works real good for me.
Yeah. And if you let me, I'll share my phone number. Yeah, if anybody wants to just contact us, they have more questions or they're just not sure or whatever. It's 715-421-8440. And anybody out there that Facebook, if you're looking to see, maybe you're not sure, we post pictures. Mm-hmm. So like go see afterwards, you know, you can get an idea of exactly what we did. So our Facebook page, Wood County 4-H, and you can see everything we're doing.
Like the page, it's a great way to keep up with the action over there, but also to see, to get a little preview of what the 4-H is all about. Yeah. And as Jasmine and Laura have said many times, if you are unable to pay maybe for the participation of some of these events, there are scholarships available. Yes. They want to work with you. Yes. We want kids to be at these events.
Absolutely. You know, we want you to really feel comfortable. We want your youth to feel comfortable. And, you know, and it doesn't even have to be a full scholarship. If you can only say, hey, I want to pay part of it, we will let you. If you say, hey, you know, I really can't this month, that is fine. We will let you. So we really want youth to experience it, families to experience it, and that will not be an obstacle with 4-H programming.
Appreciate you, Jasmine. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Say hi to Laura and everybody for us.
I will.
We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A major verdict on a mass shooting in Florida.
The defendant is not guilty.
A jury acquitted school resource officer Scott Peterson about half an hour ago in the Parkland school shooting. Peterson was emotional.
The only person to blame was that monster. It wasn't any law enforcement. Nobody on that scene from BSO, Coral Springs. Everybody did the best they could.
17 people were killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High in 2018. The shooter was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole last year. In Washington, President Biden's reacting to a Supreme Court decision overturning affirmative action.
The dissent states in today's decision, quote, rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress, end of quote. I agree with that statement from the dissents.
It was a policy for colleges and universities that was passed during the civil rights era.
I'm Christopher Cruz. NAACP President Derek Johnson says the student bodies of the nation's institutions of higher education will be less diverse as a result.